Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
We return to Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Brought to you by Digitex. Office supplies at huge savings?
Yeah, Digitex does that.
Digitex.ca on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
And welcome back, everybody. Bob Stauffer, Brendan Escott joining you on Oilers Now. And we are pleased to be joined once again. I think he's committing for another season, which illustrates yet again that there's lots of guys out there willing to be gluttons for punishment and be weekly guests on the show. For our friends at the River Cree Resort Casino, he is our Oilers Now headliner, brought to you by Touchback Safety, a family business taking care of your family during these challenging and uncertain times. Training sessions still readily available at Touchback Safety. We welcome back to the show Elliot Friedman. Hi, Elliot. How are you doing?
Bob, I missed you the last 2 weeks. How could I go without a whole season?
And is that what NHL owners are saying too right now? Man, we didn't have not a lot got out yesterday. Some stuff has started to leak out a bit today. I know you put a little out last night as well. What can you tell us about what occurred yesterday?
Honestly, I don't think there was a lot, Bob. I don't think there was anything incredibly earth-shattering. I had a couple guys tell me they were disappointed there wasn't more. But, you know, I don't think that there was anything that, you know, this week when the reports came that maybe there was progress being made, that got taken into believing that there could be something that came out of yesterday's BOG call. I was warned not to go hard on that it was more likely than not that nothing would come out of it. And that's, I think, kind of where we are. And I do think the league and the players are talking a lot more than they let on. I do think that they are going to try to grind away before U.S. Thanksgiving, which is 2 weeks yesterday, to try to see what they can get done. But, COVID is exploding. The numbers are exploding everywhere in North America. And I think there's a real worry about what that could mean. I do think the league and the players would like to start sooner rather than later. I think there's some teams that have big questions about this. But I think the league itself and the players itself would like to go. I just think it's going to come down to what is realistically possible.
Who do you think has a greater appetite to get back and play, the players or the owners?
The players.
Give it, especially given that the owners aren't going to have fans to start.
Yeah, you know, the players want to play. It's November, Bob, it's November 13th. Their body clocks are like we're a month into the season.
Right.
So they want to get paid, too. I think it's silly not to look at the economics of all this, but... You know, they're players. They play. That's what they do, and this is the time of year they play. And I think they want to play. They want to get paid. I think when it came to the return to play for last year's playoffs, I thought the PA had the tougher job, because, there's a lot of different players who felt a lot of different things. The teams knew this really wasn't going to be incumbent on them. There were a lot of players. They were the ones who had to play during a time of COVID when we still were really learning about what it was about. I think it was a bigger challenge for the Players Association to get that all in line. Here, I think it's a more difficult challenge for the league. We're not going to start with fans. There's no guarantee about when or if we're going to be able to have fans. The economics are the players have their deal, and we'll see where we go with that. But, you know, I think teams are really worried about playing games with no fans in the building. And now the economics are really a bigger concern to them. So I think it's a bigger challenge now for the owners than it was a few months ago.
And again, the players were, what, paid 92% of their money? Like, they're basically...
72%.
No, I'm saying 92% of their money when we got frozen before, shut down before. So for the playoffs, they were, you know, there wasn't a ton of money for them to come back in and play for. It was more about the overall health of the league at that stage. Well, now, yep. You know, now we are going into a contract season, so now it is their money that's up for grabs there. And conversely, the owners are sitting there saying... And I guess the question I have for you, do you think there's any way the owners sit there and say, we're just not playing this season? Look, I've already lost $30 million. I don't want to lose 50 or 60. Or do you think Bettman will just sit there and explain it? We can't be off for an entire count. They have done that once before, Elliot.
Yes. Well, Bob, it's not quite that simple with the salaries and everything because...
Yes.
It's still 50-50, right?
Yes.
So, you know, like, you pay now or you pay later. It's that simple. Put it this way. I think the players want to play. I think the league wants to play. Like people I talked to since the call yesterday say you can tell that the commissioner wants to play. It's obvious. For one thing, you can't sit out. Number two, as you said, number two, the NBA players have a stake in the ground. Where's the NHL stake in the ground? Now, who knows if the NBA is even going to be able to do this, but at least they have their dates. What are our dates? So, yes, I think there's that. I do think, Bob, you're totally right that there are teams that look at this and say, it doesn't work for us. And I do believe the commissioner has talked to a lot of those owners and is hammering out what their concerns are and what his vision is. Number one, this is the last year of the U.S. TV deal. I think Bettman wants to get that done and get into the next deal, which hopefully can help some of the financial concerns. So that's very big. Number two, and one of the reasons you're starting to hear a lot more about games being played in the local rinks as opposed to in hubs is that, you know, there's local sponsorship deals. You know, for example, naming rights deals. Like, some of these companies that have names on the buildings are saying, now, hold on a second, we're not getting our money's worth out of this because we're getting no exposure. So you want to deal with that. I tweeted out a story today, the owner of the Golden State Warriors. California is one of the states that everybody was really worried about. You might not be able to play there. Well, now it looks like you're going to be able to play there, but the Lakers sent a note to their fans out, you're not coming to games for the foreseeable future. The owner of the Golden State Warriors is a very bright guy. He's got a background in this kind of thing, and he's talking about a rapid-fire test that he wants to pitch that he thinks will be able to let him a goal of 50% capacity. Now, I don't know if that's going to happen or not, Bob. I hope it works, but I'm not an expert on the sciences. But the one thing he said was, if we don't have fans for 2 years, there's going to be no NBA. And if the NBA is thinking that, everybody's thinking that. So that's part of the battle here that we're dealing with.
Yeah, absolutely. It's really interesting. I mean, the one thing I'd say about Bettman, and you can correct me if I'm wrong or if you disagree here, he tends to get his way, doesn't he?
Yes, he does. But, you know, I will say this. I think this is the biggest challenge he's ever faced. And I think every leader is like this. Like, you know, I read a book the autobiography written by Bob Iger, who is the chair of Disney. And, you know, it's a really interesting book. He was supposed to retire. And he didn't. He said this is not the right time to retire. And because he said it's the most challenging leadership time in Disney's history while he's been there. you got to ride through it. I think this is Bettman's biggest challenge. I think you're right. He generally gets his way, but and he always works to make sure that he knows where everybody stands and what the votes are going to be. I just think, like, this is something that even a guy as powerful as he is, you've got no control over it. So it's the biggest challenge because it's threatening the businesses of his owners in terms of hockey and some of them outside of hockey.
Yeah, well, and there's a whole bunch of different optics going on in each respective state or province and throughout
like,
the northern...
Look, Bob, like your team there is one of the wealthiest teams in the NHL. If we don't play with fans, even the Oilers are going to get hammered.
Yep. Absolutely. There's no question. So, of course, you can maybe talk to some people at Rogers and make sure the Oilers get a better regional TV deal, Elliot.
Yeah, hopefully we'll get some news about that soon.
All right. Well, so let me ask you this. A lot of people thought between January 21st to February 1st would be the start date. Is it your belief the players would be willing to have training camp in and around December 15th so we could drop the puck on January 1st? Do you believe that's feasible?
Yes. Well, put it this way. I think it's the wish. Like, if you ask the commissioner what his wish is, I believe that's it. Is it possible? We'll know, I think, by U.S. Thanksgiving. Put it this way. One of the things I've been kind of wondering about is, Christmas. Right now, in the current CBA, the players have time off around Christmas. And I've tried to speak to his players and agents and say, what are you guys thinking? And I've had some guys, especially guys who have to cross the border, whether they're Americans who have to play in Canada or they're Canadians who play in the States or even a couple of Europeans and their agents, you're not going to see your family for a long time. And I had a couple guys who said, Christmas would be important to me, especially if you have kids. But I have had some guys, Bob, tell me that if you're ever going to give it up, it's going to be this year.
Yeah.
You've been with your family for a long time. You know that this is a unique situation. Like, I don't think there's a lot of appetite for let's bring everybody in Christmas in December 15th and then send everybody home for 2 or 3 days around Christmas. Like, I can't see that. I think for this year, there might be an understanding that if that's what you want to do, you've got to do it that way. But I think there's also a chance if they can't get this done, you look at bringing everybody in after Christmas and then maybe starting on January 15th. Like I said, I think the league really would like to start January 1st. I just don't know if it's humanly possible.
Is it a foregone conclusion that if we play, we will have a Canadian division?
I wouldn't say a foregone conclusion, but I think it's looking more and more likely. That's the way I would put it. I think it's looking more and more likely that there will be a Canadian division. I think it's something that the league wasn't crazy about initially and easy about, but sometimes you got to adapt and do things you're not happy with.
Yeah, you know what, Elliot? It'd be awesome for you guys, for NHL hockey and Rogers.
You know
the numbers. Yeah, you know the numbers when it's two Canadian teams. And I think
you know what, Bob? I think also I think you guys would go to Calgary and you'd play two games in 2 days. You'd go to Vancouver, you'd play 2 games in 2 days. You'd go east. You'd do it same thing in Winnipeg, Toronto, Ottawa, and Montreal, and then you'd come back and they do it. I think that's what we're kind of talking about here.
Yeah, no, it's looking, you're thinking it's kind of a baseball model then? That's how they're going to have?
That's definitely what they're talking about. I mean, everything is going to be in the air. I think one of the biggest questions is going to be, like, how often do players want to play? Like, are we talking 4 games a week? Is that your average?
Well, Elliot, if we start January the 1st, and let's say the regular season goes to May the 15th. So that's 19 weeks.
Yep.
That gives you a chance to get upwards of high 60s in terms of games played.
I think there's a couple of things here. Number one, I do think, as you kind of hinted there, July 15th right now is the last date of the season.
Right.
So that's right now. But number two, I think there's the possibility that they will have 2 weeks at the end of the season open so that if you do have to cancel or postpone games and you need to make them up, you can do it there. And if you don't need to, you can just start the playoffs earlier. I think you might see like a built-in buffer zone between, like, I had heard between 56 and 72 games. I saw some reports last night of between 48 and 60. I think they would like to get 56.
Yeah. Well, now, they use the opportunity, and so they should. You have to be relentless in terms of trying to improve your product in these challenging times. They did some unique things in the hubs. I know that you briefly mentioned online yesterday the potential or the possibility. Could we maybe be playing some outdoor game? And we had some people kicking around Lake Louise at one point, maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago. I don't know if that's feasible, but educate us on that as well.
Lake Louise is out, and the reason, and they did look into it. The people who talked about that, that was true. Like, they did look at Lake Louise. Lake Louise is out because it's a federally, it's a federal government park, and there's a limit on the advertising you can do there. That's why Lake Louise is out. But it was discussed. I have heard that they are talking about some outdoor spectacles. I don't know if fans would be involved here. Some of it may be in baseball or football stadiums, but also I hear they're talking about like scenic things, like Lake Louise. Like, those things are definitely being discussed. Can we go to those kinds of scenic things and play there? And they would like to try it. And I think it's a great idea. If you can do it, why not do something unique and different?
Hmm. I'm surprised they're like, what, can't you change the rules? Seriously. I mean, COVID's changed everything else. Can't you change the rules?
I don't know. Bob, don't get me started on
I know. I'm with you. I'm just saying.
I hate them all. I just hate them all. I really do.
You should see what's going on here right now. Anyhow, It's unbelievable. Well, wait a sec. You're out east, too. So central Canada. So I don't know, but I'm going to spin it to a hockey question then for you. If we had an all-Canadian division, kind of put you on the spot a bit here. I mean, a lot of teams have great young players. The Oilers had the highest points percentage of the respected seven teams. Some people would suggest the Oilers are no better than sixth or seventh amongst the goaltending, but they still have those two big horses at the top. Who would you see would be the four playoff teams?
Oh, okay. Well, I'd take Montreal.
Yep.
I'd take Toronto.
Yep.
I'd take Edmonton.
Very safe answer.
Yeah, it's good, eh?
Yeah. Calgary or Vancouver, who gets in? Or Winnipeg?
Well, what about Winnipeg? Like, that's a tough one. My last one would be one of those three. I'd have to think about it more.
Would we have you mentioned the 2 week, and it totally makes sense. And people sit there and go, well, why is football worse than hockey and basketball? Well, hockey and basketball were in bubbles. Football is not in a bubble. And like with college
baseball.
And college football has like 120 guys or 130.
Yeah, it's really bad, eh? College football's got to be because of dorms and things like that. Like,
it's the only
thing I can really think of. It's the schools on campus. You know, there's college hockey tonight. Like, I hope it lasts.
Who's playing tonight?
I think Notre Dame is playing tonight.
Okay, because Guy Gadowski's at Penn State, and I don't know if they're – maybe they start next weekend. Actually, you know what?
Someone sent me a note that it starts tonight. I think Notre Dame is playing tonight.
Yeah. Well, I know the AJHL gets going this weekend. Obviously, there is just one more thing here, Elliot. I mean, this is – if the NHL gets started early, this completely changes the complexion for the World Juniors and the makeup of those teams. Because suddenly the Chicago –
That definitely is another issue, too. You know, I will tell you this. I am rooting for the World Juniors this year because there are a lot of people who depend, a lot of grassroots hockey
sure.
depends on the money from that tournament. So I am rooting for that tournament to work. And I think it was really smart that some of these leagues, and I don't think it's a coincidence either, they decided not to play until after that was over. Like, I don't think it's a coincidence. You know what? It's a really good... I was asked about that the other day and what would happen. And I don't think anybody knows the answer yet,
yeah.
Bob. It's
oh,
a good
yeah.
question.
Yeah. All right. So I'm going to put you on the spot here, and we might be 2 weeks out before we have a resolution. Maybe if we're lucky, we'll have a resolution the next 2 weeks. Will we be playing January 1st? Will we be playing January... Let's put it this way. Do we play? Do we start January 1st? Do we start as late as February 1st? Or do we not play at all? Give me a percentage of each happen.
I think we're going to play.
Okay.
I'm going to split the baby. I'm going to say January 15th.
Okay.
I don't think they want to wait to February. If they wait to February, there's very little runway if things go wrong.
Yep.
So put it this way. I think they want to play January 1st. I just don't think they know if they're going to be able to play January 1st. So I'll go with the 15th just to
well,
be safe.
The other thing the 15th does is it allows guys like, you know, Doc and Cousins who would be potentially available to play for Canada, maybe Broberg for Sweden, and they can go right.
Lafreniere.
Right from the World Juniors into their NHL camps a week in. So that would be quite beneficial for the World Juniors. Elliot, love it. Thanks for your time.
Great to chat with you, Bob. I missed you.
I miss you too, man. It was a tough 2 weeks without you on Fridays. That is Elliot Friedman from NHL Hockey and Rogers for our friends at the River Cree Resort and Casino. It is 12:53 in Edmonton. We'll take a timeout. You're listening to Oilers Now.
Hi, this is Leon Draisaitl from your Edmonton Oilers, and you're listening to Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer on 630 CHED.
It is 12:55 in Edmonton. Welcome back, everybody. Bob Stauffer, Brendan Escott with you in Oilers Now. We'll tell you that Roost Chris Steakhouse is the greatest steak you've ever had. It's Edmonton-owned and operated, and it's open Wednesday through Sunday from 5 p.m. until close. You can head down to 9990 Jasper Avenue, tell Brendan, Maggie, Taylor, and the staff at Roost Chris that Oilers Now sent you. We are going to go into the Oilers Prospect Report for James H. Brown Personal Injury Lawyers. When accidents happen, go to jameshbrown.com. Trent Brown, Jim Brown, the group at James H. Brown, they want you to stay safe and stay positive. Here's Brendan.
All right. Well, through three appearances with Grazers of the Austrian ICEHL, 2018 second rounder Olivier Rodrigue has a 1.99 goals against average, a 9.43 save percentage. All three goalies there are splitting starts, so in nine games, each member of the team has made three starts. Rodrigue is teammates there with Red Wings first rounder Michael Rasmussen and former Spruce Grove Saints captain Parker McKay as well. A couple fun side notes. Ilya Konovalov, 4-3-1 through his eight appearances in the KHL with Lokomotiv Yaroslavl. He is splitting time with Eddie Pasquale, as we've mentioned. Was Pasquale an Oiler for, like, you know, all of 5 minutes in some sort of a trade circumstance a few years back? I believe he was.
Maybe he was. I'm not sure. I just remember he was always in Penticton with the Winnipeg Jets.
So he was a Jets entity at some point. Konovalov, good numbers there, 2.03 goals against average, a 9.33 save percentage, but Pasquale lights out, 1.14 GAA and a 9.54 save percentage. So Konovalov has been in tight to get action in recent weeks.
All right, there you have it. That is for our friends at James H. Brown Injury Lawyers, the Oilers Prospect Report. Bob Stauffer, Brendan Escott with you. You can text us at any time on our Ashley Fine Floors text line. And this text comes in out of Calgary. Hey, Bob, through the next negotiations with the Players Association, will there be a clause in it that if the pandemic happens like this, special consideration to the wages would kick in? An example, players only get 50% of their wages and the rest backdated once the pandemic is over. Well, it's sort of already occurred. 20% escrow, which in some years it's been as high as 20%. and then a 10% deferral. And I think most of you would probably understand the perspective that the players should be paid prorated based on games per played. Now, if you're an NHL agent, you might not think that. It'll be interesting to wait and see. This text comes in saying, Bob, don't see the NHL starting before February 1st. The country is close to being shut down again. Toronto and Winnipeg virtually shut down. Now that one comes to us from Don. Well, and again, I think we're heading down a further path here, and I know what came out yesterday, and I think that's just the tip of the iceberg. Bob, the season ending July 15th, NBC has TV rights for the playoffs and the Tokyo Olympics. I don't think they want their viewership crossing over. July 15th would be when it would be over. The Olympics start theoretically on July 23rd. This text comes in from JR. Better bet, Bob, NHL start dates or the presidential results? I don't know. You want me to put a call in or Giuliani and see what he has to say? See if we can get one winners now. Just kidding. Some interesting stuff there, to say the least. Oh, what a mess. It is 12:58 in Edmonton. Hey, COVID's been a challenge, and it's affected everything. Off to a global news weather traffic update with Eileen Bell. John Shannon with some more insight, our NHL insider on Oilers Now, about maybe potentially what went on behind the scenes yesterday with the Board of Governors meetings and the NHLPA meetings. This is Oilers Now.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.